The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 6th chapter. Jesus said, I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. The Jews then disputed among themselves, saying, How can this man give us his flesh to eat? So Jesus said to them, Truly, truly, I say to them, unless you eat of the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so whoever feeds on me, he also will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not as the fathers ate and died. Whoever feeds on this bread will live forever. Jesus said these things in the synagogue as he taught at Capernaum. When many of his disciples heard it, they said, This is a hard saying. Who can listen to it? But Jesus, knowing in himself that his disciples were grumbling about this, said to them, Do you take offense at this? Then what if you were to see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh is of no avail. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life. But there are some of you who do not believe, for Jesus knew from the beginning who those were who did not believe and who it was who would betray him. And he said, This is why I told you that no one can come to me unless it is granted him by the Father. After this, many of his disciples turned back and no longer walked with him. So Jesus said to the 12, Do you want to go away as well? Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life, and we have believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our blessed Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Today we meditate on the words of the gospel you have just heard with the theme, Jesus, bread for the life of the world. In the name of Jesus, amen. The Bible, God's holy word, has two basic primary teachings. One is the doctrine of the law, and the other is the doctrine of the gospel. The law is the Lord God Almighty's holy will. The Ten Commandments, for example, are law. The law demands what we are to do, what we are not to do, and how we are to be. It tells us how we should say and what we should not say, what we think and not think. The law is directed to all of the activities of mankind. The law always accuses our old sinful self. Even one violation of just one commandment condemns to everlasting separation from God and paradise. For does not Scripture say, whoever keeps the whole law but fails in one point becomes guilty of it all? Each of us has broken God's law. You know it, and I know it. You and I, therefore, deserve nothing less than God's wrath and punishment, both now in time and also in eternity. That summarizes God's good, perfect, holy, and just law. And the law kills. The other doctrine of Holy Scripture is the gospel. This is the good news of God in Christ Jesus for the forgiveness of all sins. This is God's gracious gift of salvation because of what Jesus, the Son of God and Son of Man, did. How he suffered and died for the sins of the whole world and rose again for their sanctification. The gospel makes no threats, issues no demands, twists no arms, forces no obedience. It is God's sweet, comforting, soothing message of complete pardon, full forgiveness of sin, the giving of eternal life, and the bestowing of salvation by and through the incarnate Word, Jesus Christ. Those gifts are given through baptism, the forgiving word, the Lord's Supper, and they bestow grace, mercy, and peace. That is God's good, perfect, benevolent, and gracious gospel. The gospel gives life. What causes people to be offended at Jesus? The law or the gospel? Now, it would seem logical to us living in our culture in this day that the objections which most people voice would be toward the holy will and righteous will of God, that is, the law. It certainly is true in our day, as many outside the faith complain of Christians endeavoring to impose their religion, i.e., hear that, natural law, on them. This idea makes up the abundance of false teachings, both in our culture and certainly within a popular American Christianity today. The abundance of false teaching nurtures the doubt that already comes forth from our sinful hearts by nature. Popular American Christianity does not focus upon Christ's work on behalf of sinful humanity, but instead points to Jesus as an example, as a teaching model for Christian living. Now, to be fair and honest, Scripture declares that Christ is our example. But this is not to be placed ahead of or even alongside the work of Christ's death and resurrection for sinners. The focus of popular American Christianity focuses on the law, not the gospel. And I would just point out again that no one, including you, will go to heaven by doing your best at keeping the Ten Commandments. Nor will you get there because you read through the Bible every year, or because you have surrendered your life to Christ, or made a decision to accept Him, or even spent 40 days seeking a life with purpose. Jesus said that it is He who saves and does all the work. Yet fallen, sinful hearts continue to respond, "This is a hard saying. Who can listen to it? Can you?" When one listens carefully to who is objecting in our text for today and to what they are objecting, one will discover that it is not the law to which objections are raised. We hear the unpleasant truth that even some of those who were His disciples would no longer readily receive the Lord's teaching. Consider Peter's example after he had made the great confession of faith, when Jesus said, "I am now going up to Jerusalem to suffer and die." Peter said, "Oh, no, you're not. Not if I can help it." But the people of the Lord's day could not grasp the fact that life came only through Him. But listen now to the Lord's reply to those who considered His teaching to be a hard saying and could not listen to it. Listen to this well. Jesus replied, "Do you take offense at this? The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life, not words of judgment and condemnation, but words of spirit and life. Whoever eats his flesh and drinks his blood, that is, whoever embraces him in true saving faith, which itself is a gift of God, will live forever. Conversely, whoever does not will have no life in him. And not only this, but also that he alone is the source of all life and true being. He came to give you living bread, not just bread for your stomachs. Thus, the whole purpose of Christ, the eternal Son of God, becoming man in his incarnation, was for the eternal benefit of your souls, that by grace through faith in Christ Jesus, you would be justified, that is, declared righteous before God and seen by the Father as holy and blameless in his sight." That is why Jesus said, "You cannot be saved without me. I alone have life. Without me, there is no life. Without me, there is nothing." This is the whole purpose of Christ. The eternal Son of God, becoming man in his incarnation, was for the eternal benefit of your soul, that by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, you would be declared righteous. Jesus said, "He is the one who saves, who does all that needs doing. He does all the work." As Dr. Norman Nagel, one of my former professors, used to say, "Jesus does the verbs." Jesus said that it is He who alone does all the work. Yet fallen, sinful hearts endeavor to respond, "This is a hard saying. Who can listen to it?" But Jesus, knowing that His disciples were grumbling about this, said to them, "Do you take offense at this? Then what if you were to see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? If you think that is hard," Jesus may have said, "what will happen when you mainly see the Son of Man ascending?" Jesus ascended the cross for you. On that cross, he did not look powerful, nor did he appear in charge. Rather, he appeared helpless, forsaken by God, doomed to death. Here is an even greater scandal than saying he is the bread of life. How can he be the Messiah, the bread of life, the world's Savior, if he is dead and dying? Will you also leave? After Jesus spoke to his followers and said that not all will believe, some of them drew back and walked with him no more. And here Jesus reacted in a way that is often ignored in our modern day. Jesus let them go away. And this shows another point of Jesus' words. The first was that not all will believe and that not everyone will remain always in the faith. And now we see that God accepts this. The Lord knows that some will remain hardened against the Christ. Some will fall away from the living God, and many will depart who have tasted and seen his goodness. Now our old nature wants to ask the question, how could a loving God consign anyone to condemnation? I would remind you that God is not only loving, he is also perfectly just. God will not and does not force his love upon anyone. putting unbelievers in heaven in the presence of God when that is not what they desired would be entirely unjust. God forces no one to believe in Him. And when His word is rejected, He does not change it to suit the felt needs of those who object. Notice that when some of the disciples said they had difficulty believing His words, Jesus simply asked, "Do you take offense at this?" In other words, "Do you take offense at me?" And then He allowed them to depart. Jesus did not, nor could not, apologize for who He is and what He has come to do, and then retract everything that He taught just because some people couldn't grasp it, because they would not. He told them the truth and allowed those who would not receive it to depart. He didn't run after them, seeking their input on what He could do better to make them listen more attentively, nor did He seek their input on what it would take to make them believe. We would do well in our day to observe how our Lord Jesus dealt with those who rejected the gospel. He loved them more than we could ever love another as sinners, and yet He also remained faithful to His word. Now, there are many who will tell you that you are not a healthy church unless you are experiencing numerical growth or have a certain percentage of young people in attendance every week. And if you have a decline in numbers, then you are doing something wrong and need to make some changes. People are leaving. So how about we offer programs that have more exciting and dynamic things in them, or at least more variety? But dear Christians, to insist on such things is to deny the very words that you heard from the lips of Jesus Himself this morning. He says, "The words that I give you are spirit and life." It is the word of Christ that gives life, and the Holy Spirit accompanies that word. And it is that word and that word alone that is to be preached throughout the world, and it is that word that is to be put in the mouths of the faithful without ceasing. Since it is the Word that has the power to create faith and save the soul, it is to be your focus as a Christian congregation, both in your teaching, in your witness to the neighbor, and in your worship. So today, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, I admonish all to avail themselves of Christ's gifts at every opportunity, to relish in splashing around in your baptism, to confess your sins, receiving absolution, to hear of Christ crucified, to receive His body and blood in the sacrament every Lord's Day, that you would continually be renewed and strengthened against the power of sin, death, and devil. Be fed by the incarnate Word, both in times of joy and in times of sorrow, in times of sickness and in health, in season and out of season, for you have been wed to Christ in the water of your baptism. Look to Jesus Christ and to Him alone, asking with Peter, "Lord, where else could we go? You have the words of eternal life. There is none other." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in true faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.